Hey, hey, now welcome. You are listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I am your host, Lynn Richardson. It's WVON 1690 AM, the talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation, our favorite radio station. And we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time. And of course, I am joined by my recurring guest host, my sister and business partner, your legend, our icon, MC Light. Good morning, MC Light. Good morning. Good afternoon. Wherever you are.
Yes, I'm all over the world. That's where I am.
And that's
so
right.
Are you, because this is WVON and it's iHeartRadio, so people can tune in anywhere. If you're listening and you have some friends that live in various places, tell them to tune in, because Dr. Lynn is going in.
Oh yeah, we going in today, because guess what?
What's that?
You were about to lose your job. Hey, you were about to lose your job. Let me tell you.
Black people are just so inventive and creative. We done took it, remixed it.
And then I was like, yeah, this is my song. I was like, where's my song? You gonna try to tell me that's not a song? Yes, it is a song.
That is talking about, where's my song? I need to hear it. I'm like, that is not a song. That is something that a woman just said while she was detaining me on nothing.
Okay.
Was singing at the cops. I imagine she was really feeling good. If I had to think about it, she probably was drinking some tequila.
She was drinking something with that song.
That wasn't wine. That wasn't a wine reaction.
Yeah, and let me tell you, I love my black people, because we came out in the streets partying, and you know, I haven't posted anything intelligent yet. The only thing I could post was, you were about to lose your job. And they had everybody. They had Biden, Kamala, Barack, Obama, Michelle. I mean, they had John Lewis in that video dancing. Let me tell you, I know John Lewis is dancing in heaven right now today. Yes, he is.
He. I just loved his little steps. I didn't even know he danced.
All black people dance, child. Come on now.
No, right.
Come on now. Yeah, we all got a little. Now, they might have on that black suit on Capitol Hill, but let me tell you, when some music come on, you were about to lose your job. Hey,
I don't know if Ben Carson dances.
Oh, God. There you go. I said black people. Oh, goodness. I am having too much fun today.
You know, say is this, since you haven't had a serious post up, but I really, you know, we skimmed over it a little bit on Friday, but Kamala Harris, I mean, the first female VP ever, and only two ran in the existence of history, but didn't make it. She's the second black woman ever elected to the Senate.
And you know, do you know who the first one was? She's from Chicago too. Carol Moseley Braun. Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
A little bit of history there. All right. But no, go on.
And she was the first South Asian American senator, woman or man, ever to hold that position with her Senate seat.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's something serious for the people, but also, you know, it's not that she's the first, like she accomplished being the first VP. First female VP, we all participated in that.
Yeah.
So we are a part of that history as well.
Yeah.
I'm extremely excited to see what it is that she's going to be able to do. What needle will she be able to move? And I say to people now, don't stop at this election. Don't stop being involved. Stay engaged for the whole process. Let's become warriors at this, as we have done with most things that we ever put our hands into. Whatever it is that we decide we want to do, we accomplish it. So I would say, let's start prepping our young folks for the political game.
Yeah.
To be involved in the political structure. Van Jones has been involved for many, many years. I mean, did you see him on CNN?
Oh my goodness.
Friday?
Let me tell you. Saturday. Was it Saturday? No,
Saturday,
it was Saturday. Yeah. It was just, well, first of all, I told you all that I was not getting out of the bed until we knew who our president was. Then that went on for 2, 3, 4 more days. I said, oh, no, I got work to do around here. You think I got time to lay in the bed for 5 days straight? No. I thought this was going to be a one day kind of situation with my Krispy Kreme donuts and my coffee and figuring it out. And we couldn't get it figured out. But we knew what the answer was. But no, I was actually watching. I was watching the news when they were still talking about the votes in the states. And then all of a sudden, they said, oh, wait a minute. We have breaking news. We are about to project. I said, come on now. Come on now. And so, yeah, seeing him weep like that. I mean, that was the same feeling I had days earlier because, you know, I'm looking at my children. My youngest daughter is 19. So I have to say publicly, congratulations to my daughters, Kennedy and Taylor, on electing your first president in your first election. Congratulations to you. And I thought for a minute that I was going to have some serious discussions with him about this world that we live in. Like, I know bad things happen, but there are certain things that are supposed to be in place. Presidents are supposed to respect all of its citizens, you know, all of their citizens of their country. I thought good is supposed to outweigh evil, you know, just all of these things. And when it was looking like it might go in another direction, of course, when it did go in another direction 4 years ago, it's like, okay, wow, the world has chosen, you know, money over morality. The world has chosen racism over restoration. The world has chosen hate over hope. And when you have young people, and I know we're going to talk about this a little bit later, because the suicide rate for our young people is up. Some of our friends have lost their children to suicide. And so I thought I was going to really have to start having some conversations. And I still do about, you know, how am I going to explain to my children why this man got elected again after he called Omarosa a dog. Now, I know a lot of people don't really, you know, have anything great to say about Omarosa because of whatever, but you don't call a woman a dog. A man, like, you called her a dog.
He
called Kamala Harris something after the, after this last debate.
Yeah, and we don't even need to know what it was.
Yeah,
he called Roseanne Barr something.
Yeah, then
so many people he attacked.
Yeah, and he's mocked disabled people. You know, he talks about immigrant. Like, I'm thinking, like, wait a minute. This is not acceptable. Mm-mm. This is not acceptable behavior. This is not how we do this.
Right.
And to choose that person to lead, you know, is just it's a huge, huge statement. And
to me, to choose that person to lead means that you are in agreement with what he's saying. There's a whole lot, there's 70 million people that voted for him.
I know. Unbelievable.
They are in agreement with this thought pattern. And I mean, I am so happy. Yes, usually in the movies, the good people win. You know, the protagonist takes it over and is able to defeat the antagonist. And that is what it feels like today. I tell you what, the last time I weep like that was when Barack walked out of that doggone White House. When he had that strut going on, I was like, oh my God. Matter of fact, I think it's on social media. I cried and I was like, oh, I got to capture this. No one's going to believe it. Not that I don't cry.
You mean when he left after it was over?
No, when he was coming in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, they showed that. Wolf Blitzer, I love him so much. He's such a solid journalist. And he, yesterday, he said, you know, there are two moments in history, and I've had the privilege of announcing these projections for years. And he talked about Biden coming out jogging. Let me tell you, when I saw Biden jogging out, I started crying. It felt like an angel from heaven was jogging down the road. I mean, it just felt so good to see him at that age, so alive. It was just so wonderful. But he went back to the night they projected Barack Obama. And let me tell you, there are chills all over my body right now. And they showed Grant Park. And Grant Park, there was a sea of people. And Jesse Jackson was weeping. And Oprah was crying. And it was nothing like it. This was a close one. It was a close one. But definitely, I'm excited about what is ahead for our people. Now, of course, you know, I have to say it. Well, I have two things.
What?
Everybody need a home-based business.
Right.
Everybody need a home-based business, okay? Mm-hmm. Everybody needs a home-based business. You must get your tax deductions in order. You must learn the money game. Mm-hmm. And the second thing, before we take our break, you were about to lose your job. You were about to lose your job. Let me tell you. I'm going to say that chant until I get tired, okay? And you all know I never get tired of stuff that I love. This is the Millionaires Roundtable. I'm Lynn Richardson. MC Light is here with me. We are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time. But we have to take a break for traffic and weather. We'll be right back. It's WVON.
Are you an exceptional real estate or financial services professional? Do you have a business or service that can improve the lives of others? You may qualify to serve the world as a member of Lynn's List. Visit www.lynnmillionaire.com. That's www.lynnmillionaire.com or call 888-LYNN-123 extension 5. That's 888-LYNN-123 extension 5 for more details.
Hey, now, welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I'm your host, Lynn Richardson. It's WVON. MC Light is here with me, guest hosting. Thank the Lord. My sister is here so we can have a conversation because I've been talking about myself for a long time. And yes, for a very long time.
Before we get a little bit into, you know, the segment that you mentioned in the last segment, I just wanted to say COVID testing. You know, let's wear our masks and let's get tested. I mean, why not? Let's just keep everyone around us safe, especially if you're the person in a family that's bopping around and moving all around the place. I know for you, Lynn, with the good old Deacon there, your husband of 20 plus years.
Come on now.
When he comes in the house, you make him take off his shoes, his clothes. You make him jump in the shower. Like, you don't want to take any chances, and we can't. You are the leader of the company, and we want you safe. We want you healthy, and the Deacon understands that. So I think that's good for everybody to get out there with their mask and stay protected. I just saw a little news flash. Historically speaking, it is Trump supporters that will not take a COVID test.
Wow.
So hopefully they'll be swayed to go in another direction now that we have a different type of leadership. And it's really not all about just them. I mean, you can feel great, but you can also pass something on to someone and not even realize it. So let's just stay safe. So no, back to the regularly scheduled program here. So we have been talking.
Yeah.
We have been talking about, you know, our young people and how it is that they are addressing the issues that they have today. 18 to 24 year olds, one out of four of those young people are reportedly having suicidal thoughts. And of course, this pandemic is a new type of challenge, Lynn. Nobody is immune to the stress of a pandemic.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we've ever experienced anything like this in our lifetime. And for these young people, it's even more crushing. It's the biggest dilemma I believe they have faced throughout their livelihood.
Yeah.
And so I know that I saw a post earlier today that came from Lisa Presley, you know, Elvis Presley's daughter, who had a son who committed suicide when he was 27.
Wow.
And I believe that his birthday was either today or yesterday, and she did a whole celebration for his birthday. But how terrible of a feeling that must be. First off, as a parent, to lose your child to drugs, it has to be excruciating, because you did all you could do. You know, you raised them I'm sure, you know, most parents didn't raise their children around drugs or to take drugs or to, you know, make those things available to them. So to,
I don't know.
I said most.
I don't know if most. Do you know how many weed smokers?
Oh, my God.
Running around.
Break it on down.
And I'm talking back in the reefer days.
You mean when they called it reefer?
When people smoked reefer, child, okay?
Chiba, chiba, y'all.
People smoked reefer and thought it was not a big deal. I mean, I never smoked any of it. I never smoked weed, none of it. I may have tried it and when I was a teenager, and it was like, you don't know what you're doing. Puff pass. Like I was not allowed. I remember watching a documentary with Tupac, and he was saying how the people that he was around, they wouldn't let him do anything. Like, they gave him money, did whatever. But for whatever reason, you know, thank God I didn't. But I never smoked stuff. But I know a whole lot of adults who smoked it around their children. And or if not right in their children's faces, their children knew. And many people, even though it was illegal, and now it's not, but technically it is, because still it's still illegal federally. I don't know
well,
if people understand that.
Wait a minute. There have, federally, yes, but there have been even a few more states who have welcomed in medicinal marijuana.
Yeah. So, right. You know, I hear what you're saying, but I think that we've had a lackluster relationship with the drug issue as a society. And I think that we have given mixed signals, especially when it came to marijuana usage.
Right.
In my day growing up. Go on.
The crazy thing is, first off, I know a whole lot of adults now that grew up with parents that did indulge in marijuana, but they don't smoke. So they've made the decision for themselves. I think what happens is pain. It's a lot of pain. It's a lot of post-traumatic stress. It's a lot of, you know, kids out there who are unfortunately witnessing things that are just too devastating for them to forget. So you have children who have seen their parents be abused. They've seen arguing. They've seen, you know, crimes committed against one another. You know, they've played a witness or have been abused themselves or molested by family members, by people who other family members trust. There are even people who have, you know, courageously come to their parents to tell them about what is being done to them. And their parents have told them they're either lying or it's not true or it couldn't be anything but to come to the aid and the rescue of that child. So I think outside of drugs, children have just been they haven't been treated fairly. They haven't been heard completely, and they haven't been cherished the way that they should have. And I think as they grow older, they find different ways of dealing, different coping mechanisms to deal with the atrocities that they have faced as children. And so when I looked at Lisa Presley's post, I thought, wow, you know, Dr. Dre has lost a child to suicide. KRS-One has lost a child to suicide. You know, Change Child, Big Daddy Kane has lost a child. I'm not sure whether or not it was suicide or not, but also Deborah Lee's son has gone on to, you know, another plateau. But the truth is, it doesn't matter whether you're a celebrity or not. You are not exempt. How about that? No one is exempt to the pain that a child feels or goes through. And so I wanted to talk a little bit with you, Lynn, about some of those signs that your listeners may be able to tap into when you see from your younger people around you some of those signs, and maybe what it is that you can do to help. First off, hopefulness.
Yes.
If you don't have a sense of hope, I mean, about the future, and you only have little expectation about the circumstances and how to improve them, then you know
that's a big factor. We have to take a break. This is an important topic, but this is WVON. This is the Millionaires Roundtable. We have to take a break for news, traffic, and weather. We'll be right back.
A little check to Monday. Lynn Richardson will tell you what you need to do. She is a mortgage guru, no doubt about it, she knows her stuff. Hey, the girl is tough, she's gonna give you the real deal in money, credit and financial security. Buy your book today, no need to wait. Live a check to Monday. Hey, live a check to Monday. Live a check to Monday. Live a check to Monday. Are you living check to Monday? Get your copy of Check to Monday today. Get your copy of Check to Monday today. Get your copy of Check to Monday today. Get your copy of Check to Monday today.
Hey, now welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I'm your host, Lynn Richardson. It's WVON 1690 AM, the talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation, our favorite radio station. We are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, one dime at a time, and that means you. Call my office, 888-LYNN-123. That's 888-596-6123, extension 1. Press 1, okay? And a member of my team will help you get started on the path to financial freedom, and figure out what class you need to take or what consultation you need. And you can also go to www.asklyn.org, submit your inquiry, wait for your immediate reply, and let's get this thing going. But like what you're saying about the hopelessness and the suicide rate amongst our young people, it's something that we need to take note of and put our arms around.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, I just was asking perhaps if we come up with a list for your listeners as to what it is they need to look out for from the young people that surround them, whether they're their kids or, you know, nieces, nephews, students. I think it's really important that we take action by minimally seeing these young people and not just, you know, overlooking what it is that they're coming to the table with. So what do you think those sleep problems, right? To me,
the first thing is energy. People can lie, but energy cannot. Mm. And one of the things I always did with my children is told them the truth, the absolute truth. I mean, when Sydney was 4 and I was pregnant and she asked, how did the baby get in my stomach? I told her.
Oh my God. Oh my goodness.
I told her every detail. I sure
did.
And
how does she look?
She didn't look like anything. She was like, oh, see, we are the ones, you see that? We're the ones who make a big deal out of it. We're the ones who, get all squirmish and this, that, and the other. And what should I say? The truth. Say the truth. Mm-hmm. I just told my brother, his son asked some questions. I said, when a kid has the capacity to ask a question, you better have the integrity to answer it. Mm-hmm. Period. None of that. You trying to talk about birds and bees. A bird and a bee have nothing to do with this baby in my stomach. Okay.
And no stork delivered it.
No stork delivered the baby. None of that is going on. Okay. So, And I got that, you know, my godmother, she always taught, and what I learned from her raising her children is you better tell your children the truth, because if you don't, the world will tell them their truth. If you don't tell your kids the truth, they will then hear something from the world that the world says the truth is, and that is what they'll believe, especially once they find out that your truth wasn't the truth. So I always wanted my kids to know, no matter what, when you come and talk to me, when we talk about it, you're going to get what the real factual core truth is, no matter what. And so through that kind of energy, I'm able to detect, discern. I call it the Holy Spirit. When something is wrong, you know, when something is wrong with your child, you know, when something is off, you know, when, and what I've learned is that when we have children, you're not grown because you're 18.
Oh,
yes. You're not grown because you're 21. You will be grown when you can, when you have a job that will allow you to pay your bills and mine.
Oh,
like I do for you now. When we can switch places, that's when you grown. Until then, I am the mama. And that's just what it is. And I think culturally, I know in many cases in the African-American community, we keep that respect. You know, Madea, big mama, like she is always big mama, period. That's it. That's just how it goes. And I think, unfortunately, we have moved away from that. So the very first thing is to stay connected with your children by telling the truth. Tell the truth. And then ask questions. Ask questions. Ask them who they're hanging out with. Ask them who they are spending time with. Ask them, say, hey, something is wrong. Oh, nothing's wrong. Oh, yes, it is. Something is wrong. Now, there's a way that you have to kind of approach it and so on and so forth. But I think all too often, you know, it's like when Kennedy... I would be traveling, and of course, you know, I'm in a house full of girls, so their door is closed when they're getting dressed and all of this stuff. Their door is closed. And so my husband's knocking on the door, and Kennedy won't answer her door to her bedroom. So one day she told my husband, if you knock on my door and I don't answer, just walk away. Now see, how about I'm gonna kick the door down and you won't have a door or a ceiling or no walls either, okay? How about that?
That is too much.
Do you know how many kids are able to tell their parents what they're not gonna do and don't do this and privacy? You don't have any privacy? What privacy? So we've had this ongoing conversation in my family that you've been a witness to, where everybody wants a tattoo. I'm not getting a tattoo. And so my kids had to wait until they were 18. And, you know, and so it's like I told my children, you know, somebody wanted purple hair. Somebody wanted a tattoo. Another person wanted an earring in their nose. Your whole body belongs to me. Your head, your neck, your arms. That's my head you want to turn purple. Those are my legs. You want to put a tattoo on.
And what does that do? Does that stop them from doing it?
Well, in my household, it did. You know, there was a certain level of respect, I think, that they understood. And then, you know, I guess because maybe I think it's more so not just because I'm the leader and because I, you know, am the matriarch. My husband, of course, is the head of the household. But because I love my children, I support them. And I think they respect that support. They respect that truth. And, you know, now once everybody turned 18, the whole family went out getting tattoos. Demetrius,
they sure did.
All of them.
But they still called. I remember Kennedy calling saying, Mom, I just wanted to tell you to ask you about this tattoo. And I was like, why is she still asking you? Don't she know that she grown now? She could do it the way she wanna? Yeah. And you was like, hey. You brought them up in a way that they respect your opinion and they want, you know, they want your love and admiration. And so when you say energy, you know, energy can't lie, it's true. One of the things on this list is changes in personality and or appearance.
Yep.
And a person who is considering suicide might exhibit a change in attitude or behavior, such as speaking or moving with unusual speed or slowness. Well, that sounds like somebody that could be high, too. So,
you know. Yeah, you got to check. See which one this is. Yeah, absolutely. And it could be either way.
Right.
It could be either way. And this is not a laughing matter. But no, this is, it takes communication. It takes connection. It takes being aware.
Right.
And the one thing that I learned is that I would have to always be aware as a parent. That there would be no age that my children could get to where I could disconnect and say, oh, they're fine, you know? And I did that, not in a drastic way, but you know, when my oldest daughter went to college, I'm like, oh, she's in college. Okay, so she's fine. So I can go days if I don't hear from her. No, we have to stay in touch. We have to stay in touch. We have to stay connected. Now, my middle child, when something is off, she'll call, Mom, I need a prayer. Like, she'll literally say, and, you know, she was upset about something, you know, kids, young women, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so she's upset and she's like literally between sniffling tears. Mom, can you give me a prayer? So I was like, okay, come on now, Jesus. I start coming up with all kind of prayers, texting them to her. And
Come on now, minister.
Everybody's a minister in their own right. Just call on the name of Jesus at any moment in time. But I think it starts with the truth. Light. I really do. I think it starts with the truth. And the other thing that I would have to say for parents is do not let your shame get in the way of the discipline. Do not let your shame get in the way of your advice. I remember one of my friends that I went to high school with, she didn't get her high school diploma. And so when she had kids, she felt like she wasn't in a position to tell them to get theirs because she didn't get hers. No. It doesn't matter what I did. Doesn't matter what I didn't do. As a matter of fact, I can tell you how I suffered through what I did. And even if I didn't do it, you're going to do it. You mentioned Ben Carson. Ben Carson is one of the world's greatest brain surgeons. Mm-hmm. His mother, she made him read those books, write those essays. She couldn't read. She couldn't read. Mm. He didn't know that, you know, but... So I think it comes down to truth and connections and the leaning on the Holy Spirit and exercising. When your gut tells you something is wrong, I can't tell you the number of times my gut has said something. I'll reach out to one of my children and whatever it was, I caught whatever it was right there in the nick of time, or, you know, addressed them and gave them some hope in a weak moment or whatever it is. So we have to stay connected, and that connection has to be through the integrity of truth. It has to be through the lens of truth.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know what? All I can say is this. For many people who want to have children or who have just, you know, entered into the world of parenthood, you know, you can hope and wish for a wonderful turnout, but you have got to do the work. You have got to be connected to your children and the outcome. I once had this guy tell me, oh, I want to have kids, you know, I want to have that relationship. I see my boys with their children and they love him. Yeah, well, that comes from years of being connected.
Yep.
Because if you lose that connection, you know, there's no telling how the relationship will go between you and your kids. And what I can say about you is that you are what you preach. When it comes to your children, they love you, they admire you, they like you. That, you know, to like your parent is a big deal, just like it is to like your children is a big deal.
Wow.
But yeah, you have a special connection with each and every one of them. Look, you got so many. Each and every
one. I was about to say, how many kids do I have? She said each and every. Each one is one thing, but each and every is a tribe. It's like I got 12 children.
Well, you got extended kids that you deal with. Mm-hmm. But three is a handful. Let me tell you.
Kids. Yeah.
You got three different personalities coming at you at three different times, knowing what to say to each one, knowing what is too much discipline for one, knowing what isn't enough for another. So I commend you, you and the good deacon, raising such beautiful young ladies.
And all of this has an impact on our wealth. We'll have a discussion very soon. Lynn Richardson's Wealth Club. It's like a book club, but it's a wealth club. And so my daughters and I are going to talk about money and their experience with money and growing up with a mother who was living check to Monday and then going through watching me turn that around and how their lives changed and so on and so forth. And so keeping our children emotionally and mentally healthy is definitely a part of the wealth we are trying to increase. This is the Millionaires Roundtable. I'm your host, Lynn Richardson. It's WVON. We have to take a break for traffic and weather. We'll be right back.
Sync your life with Denise Wiggins and Lip Sync Cosmetics. Do you need extra cash? Want to start a home-based business known around the globe? Do you want to join a sisterhood that is growing by leaps and bounds? Then become a Lip Sync Cosmetic Ambassador. Visit www.lipsynccosmetics.com. That's www.lipsynkcosmetics.com and submit your ambassador application today.
Hey, now welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I am your host, Lynn Richardson. It's WVON 1690 AM, the talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation, our favorite radio station. And we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, one dime at a time. That means you. Today, take a look at your stock portfolio, your investment portfolio. Some stocks are up, really, you know, doing great, and a few others. In response to the Pfizer's announcement about a vaccine, some stocks have, you know, slipped a little bit. So not giving investment advice, but this might be a good time to buy some stock that is on sale, meaning, you know, the value has gone down. And so you may be able to get it at a lower price and therefore put your portfolio in position to have greater gains. But you should talk to your investment advisor, you should speak to your financial planner, and you should get on this path. We are in the fourth quarter, it is harvest season. We are moving beyond 2020, and we're doing it with power and with wealth and with strength and with hope, with courage, with love, and with knowledge. Go to asklynn.org, wait for your immediate reply, and a member of my team will help you, or call 888-LYNN123, 888-LYNN123, extension 1. So light, yes, we have to get a handle on our wealth. And I think this win, this Biden-Harris win, is a win for our children. It is a win for our future. And it is a clear indication that this is the time and the season for us to pay attention to what's happening with our children, with our community. You know, it takes a village to raise a child. Yes. And, you know, I rely on all of my sisters. Whenever something's going on with one of the kids, who do I call? You, Deidre, Drea. Like, I got a whole crew of folks who are pouring in. Marva, Desiree, you know, we work together and we address these issues. So
yes, I do my own checkups with them too. I just spoke with the two youngest ones in DC yesterday, separately, to find out how they were doing, what they were excited about, what they're moving towards. And so, yeah, I think it's important for all of us who know young people to stay connected in some kind of fashion. I know it's hard. The world is moving. There's so much to do, busy schedules and all. But in the end, we are a village, and it takes that for all of this to go right. And so if you have a young person in your life and you're wondering how they're doing, just simply ask them. The first step to find out whether the person is in danger of acting on suicidal feelings is be sensitive, but ask direct questions. And some of those questions are, how are you coping with what's been happening in your life? Because this pandemic is no easy feat. Everyone is doing what they must to get through it. Do you ever feel like just giving up? Are you thinking about dying? Are you thinking about hurting yourself? Are you thinking about suicide? You know, to ask these questions directly, you'll be surprised the type of answers that you will get. And then, you know, there's always help to get. 800-273-8255 is the Prevention Suicidal Hotline, which is a great place to send folks. But also, you know, I feel like it's for lack of a plan or lack of strategy, and it has everything to do with self-love. But I'm also talking to young people that are listening now. It's not too late to have a plan. You know what? Not just young people, all people across this nation. It's not too young. You're never too young or too old to make a plan and to have a strategy for your life. Now, I know we joke a lot of times when we're talking about other matters, and we come right back down to everybody needs a home-based business. But it's true. Because if you feel like, you know, the odds are against you and you haven't been able to attain what it is that you've been grasping for, this is the time to put it in your hands. You can control your own home-based business.
Yeah.
You know, decide on what it is that you love, what you do naturally. I mean, this is Lynn Spiel and you are all familiar with it, but it's so true.
Yeah. Yeah. And what you're saying there is also a point in of reference when talking to our youth, our young people. And I'm not just talking about young people in their teens or 20s, in their 30s, you know, 40s. I mean, talking to the people who are in your circle and or in your community or in your family is important. And then and asking them questions that'll help them delve a little deeper. This pandemic is certainly a wealth stripper. It is stripping people of wealth. And that's why people need to get tested. Now, I don't know about this vaccine. I mean, they're saying it's going to be available and they'll have enough for 50 million doses, but you have to have two doses, which means it's only going to be 25 million people, but they'll have so many billion by the end of 2021. And
I want to hear about the side effects.
Yeah, I need some time. I need to see what it does to the other people first before
you
I
know what
be I cannot be bothered.
They need to make that public knowledge, which I'm sure it will be, but I just hope that they've done the proper testing on the proper people, on people with melanin as well, so that we can see how this thing reacts to all of us, because you know medicine doesn't act the same in different bodies, different
You're
ethnical
right about
backgrounds.
That. Yeah. Yeah, but you know about that Tuskegee experiment, so I don't know. I don't know. I'm opting for the good old fashioned, just like I said on my post a couple of weeks ago. I said, listen, stay over there. Social distance. What is going on? Y'all starting to get all comfortable and happy and you know, you love people, you want to hug.
Don't you miss a good hug, Lynn?
Nope, stay over there.
I miss a good old hug.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-mm. Every time I see you want to hug. You know how you see your sister, you hug. No, stay over there. What is wrong with y'all?
You know what? And it's really out of habit because I think I've only seen you twice maybe through this whole, you know, since March.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, it's Lynn. And you be like, don't even try.
Stay over there. I told you all, I gave you the notes. I put it on social media. I put it on the Instagram. I put it on the gram.
Instagram.
Okay? I put it on the gram.
Come
I put it
now.
On the Facebook.
Come on
okay, now. But no, we got to stay healthy because if I can't get sick, that's going to affect the company, the cash flow. It's going to affect your health. You don't know how long this thing is going to stay around. So this is the Millionaires Roundtable. We're creating millionaires one family at a time, and you have to stay healthy. So we need to have Zoom Thanksgiving dinners and Zoom Christmas dinners. Everybody get their food at their own house, and we're going to get together over Zoom and eat it at the same time. That's how we're going to do that.
That's how we're going to do that.
That's how we're going to do it. But we have to go. Call my office, 888-LYNN123. Go to asklynn.org. Follow this show at Lynn Millionaire. Follow me on social media at Lynn Richardson. And you know what? We want to stay, but we got to go. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.